Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of Mistress Mia's Dungeon. I'm your hostess, Mistress Mia, and this is Mistress Mia's Bedtime Stories. Today I read you a story from gagutopia.com. It is called Cycle of Abuse, written by Northern Lynx. And it begins. Maria and Hannah, Chapter 1. It was a stylish apartment. There was a small entrance, a combined kitchen and living room, and a large bedroom facing a quiet backyard. Everything looked modern, with the exception of a few kitschy cups on the shelf, which one could tell that the occupants were female. It was already dark outside, and noises in the hallway grew stronger until keys were rattling and two women entered the flat. It was clear that they had a drink or two, and that they knew each other well. Their talk was only interrupted by their giggling. "My bladder is about to burst," the slightly shorter woman laughed. "Oh, help yourself. You know where the bathroom is," the other replied. Both women had dark hair and looked slightly Hispanic, although it was clear they were both American as they spoke English to each other. The flat owner, Maria, was maybe 5'8", and her friend was a couple of inches shorter. They looked neither skinny or overweight. Both were probably in their early 30s or late 20s and wore typical dresses for a night out. Not exactly business style, but nothing too trash either. They looked like, you know, some cute, average just Jane Does. They gathered in the kitchen as Hannah came out from the bathroom. "I bet you have a good bottle of wine hidden somewhere, don't you?" Hannah said with a smirk. Maria shook her head with a disapproving smile and opened a kitchen cabinet door. She took out a bottle of red wine, an opener, and two glasses. They sat down around the round white kitchen table. Maria offered the bottle and served herself and her friend. She glanced at the bottle with a slightly cynical expression on her face. "I got this from Rick. At least I got something good out of him." Hannah looked at her with a look of compassion. She knew the story all too well. Maria and Rick had been an on-and-off relationship for many years, until Rick cheated on her and left her for another woman. Bad enough, Rick wasn't the first guy who had done that to Maria. Some of her exes had been physically abusive. Hannah herself, as well, also had a long history of abusive relationships. In that sense, they had a lot in common. Hannah broke the short silence by pointing out that Rick was a selfish prick and that Maria deserved much better. Maria looked up from her glass and their eyes met. "I once thought I'd have a family by now. I always thought that I've been doing everything right. I mean, I've got a good career and I've always, well, you know, at least mostly been nice to people around me. I don't understand what I'm doing wrong." Hannah tried to console her friend. "It's not you, Maria. Men are just awful these days. I'm starting to think they're only good for one thing. I mean, in the end, we're always the ones who get hurt. That's just unfair." Maria nodded and tried to smile. "I feel like I've invested so much, but not getting anything in return. I'm just so disappointed and tired of it all. I'm not sure I even want a relationship anymore, to be honest. I'll just end up getting used and hurt, like I always do. I mean, I'm not trying to play victim or anything, but I mean, it's just the status quo." She pondered her own words and continued, "For once, I'd want to be the one in charge, the one who has all the power to hurt and doesn't care about the consequences. Then maybe I'd get rid of the resentment I feel, and maybe I could make a fresh start. I sometimes fantasize about that." A short silence followed. Hannah was clearly thinking about her friend's words. With a serious look on her face, she weighed in. "You mean you would take someone out and take out some kind of personal revenge on someone who, in your mind, would represent a generalization of guys. I don't know about that being ethical, but probably would feel good to vent out all that anger, to just pour out all of your baggage onto someone. I have some really good fantasies sometimes about it. I know, it sounds crazy, but my fantasy quickly descends into murky territories. Maria's face lit up as her sentiments were reflected. Now, I'm intrigued. You can't just leave it at that. An awkward silence followed, and Maria filled up with the glasses again. It's just a silly fantasy. I mean, I never know when to shut up. I mean, you know, it's just thoughts. I'm not letting you get off the hook, Hannah. We've known each other, gosh, since we were girls, and we've always shared everything. Nothing you say will shock me. Now, please, continue. Maria added with a hint of impatience in her voice. Hannah looked at Maria with an exploratory expression in her eyes and sighed as a sigh of surrender. Well, since you're asking for it, I'll go ahead and tell you. I sometimes fantasize about seducing a young, attractive guy and using him physically in such a way that he's marked by me for life. Like I completely crush his ego and then just discard him. Silence followed. Maria looked at her friend with amusement, burst out laughing hysterically. You twisted sociopath. I thought I was the one who was keeping up appearances, but shit, we have so much in common. It's crazy. The laugh was contagious, and after a while, both were shaking hysterically. After they finally gained composure again, they both looked serious at each other. Maria broke the silence again. Let's do it. Hannah looked at her friend with a questioning expression on her face. I'll put up a dating profile and go on a couple of dates with some good-looking guy. Some young, hot guy. Then I invite him to hang out here, and we fulfill the revenge fantasy. Hannah looked at her friend in disbelief. She wasn't sure if Maria was being serious, but decided to play along. Fair enough. What should I do? Hannah asked. You could acquire some rope and light sedatives. You're good at knots, right? Some payoff for all those miserable years in Girl Scouts. What else? Let's see. Maria was thinking out loud and continued. We'd also need some, you know, erection-enhancing drugs. After all, we don't want him to go limp just because he isn't into this kind of stuff. Well, let's see. It's also going to be a mindfuck for him, so since he will never be sure if he was in or out, he'll probably feel guilty about it and will need therapy for life. Hannah studied her friend carefully. She was looking for cues to see if her quick-witted friend was joking or if it was the alcohol taking control over her sick and twisted thoughts. The entire discussion was just too absurd. Look, I'm not convinced. What guy would agree to be tied up by some stranger he'd just met? The chance that some random guy would be in that kind of stuff is really small. Also, technically, we could get in some serious trouble, you know, in the aftermath. Hannah could barely finish her sentence as Maria interrupted her. Look, I'm pretty sure he'd remain silent about it. Imagine the ridicule he'd face if he'd bring it up with someone. I mean, we could also dispute the entire story. Burden of proof would be on the guy. In either case, we'd be safe. What comes to your first question is, do we have time to come up with a plan in order to trick him into it? Fuck yes, we do. Hannah was a little stunned. She was shocked how far her friend had planned this out. What else had Hannah really thought about? Like her own little revenge and power trip fantasy? She realized that Maria must have been harboring these sentiments for a long time. It couldn't have just been about Rick, but there was definitely something deeper here. She thought that maybe something really bad had happened to Maria in her youth or childhood, something so dark that she hadn't shared it even with her best friend. Maybe it was Hannah's own growing resentment and disdain against men in general, or maybe it was the alcohol, but the entire absurd scenario strangely started to make sense to her. The entire discussion has escalated very, very fast. But who is complaining? Now, what if he's genuinely a lovely guy? Hannah continued. Could you live with yourself knowing that? Well, do you still believe in unicorns? Maria replied. Men are only interested in one thing, so let's give them just that. If he's not a douchebag yet, he'll surely become one soon. And as far as I know, they're all trash and worthless scum anyways. Hannah stared down on her glass. She nodded and smiled at a sign of acceptance. You really are something else. I mean, we're probably insane, Maria, you know, but it is what it is. This is some level of depravity that we've come to, isn't it? But who the fuck cares? Let's give them what they really fucking deserve. Maybe we are. Maybe we've just been mistreated for too long. Either way, I don't care anymore, Maria. And as she filled up her glass, they clicked and commenced their plan. Chapter 2, Michael. Mike was walking home from his shift at work. He was almost jumping from joy and excitement. He couldn't believe his luck. As he once again read the message over and over again on his phone, his heart was racing. He had already been invited to her place. They'd only met once on a date at the park. They'd grabbed some coffee and just talked, and just as he had been reaching for his wallet to pay for the coffee, she'd cut in front of him and paid for both before he could even protest. "Don't worry, I got this," she said with a captivating smile. The simple but surprising power move left him in awe. He had the traditional conservative upbringing and strongly believed that men should pay on dates, but still, her gesture felt really flattering. He thought that maybe this girl actually liked him and wanted to get to know him. Everything about this woman seemed great. She was both beautiful and charming. She had already finished college and had a rising career in advertising. She was quick-witted, had a great sense of humor. Mike thought they had good chemistry, and despite just meeting her, he had already really was kind of infatuated with her. There were, however, a few things that seemed a little strange. She told him she was 24, but he thought she looked slightly older than that. He also thought about her motives, like, why did she even take interest in him? Despite being quite good looking at 5'11", with an athletic body and thick blondish hair, he could really not think that she was that far out of his league. I mean, she was more mature and confident and already had her bachelor's degree and a good job. He, on the other hand, had just turned 21, still had a couple years left to his engineering degree, and had to take whatever jobs he could get in order to pay for his flat and his education and honestly anything, you know, related to school. He had also still had a bit of insecurity, and he was kind of shy around women. He couldn't wrap his head about it, but was he just lucky this time? And why did she invite him over just after one date? Like, why did this gorgeous woman pay any interest to him? That was the big red flag. His optimism made him push all doubts to the side, though, because with adrenaline pumping through his body, he replied to the message. He tried to not seem too excited. "Sounds great. I don't have other plans for tomorrow evening. What time and where should I show up?" He got a reply fast, to which he replied, "Damn. Deal. See you tomorrow, Mike." Chapter 3, The Date. He jumped off of his bike and walked up to the building's entrance. She'd given him good instructions, so the door was easy to find. His heart was racing fast as he rang the doorbell. In his mind, he'd rehearsed the situation several times to come across as confident as possible. But as she opened the door, with a broad, welcoming smile, he froze. All he could get out of his mouth was, a weak high. I brought wine and some snacks, he continued. That's really sweet of you. Don't just stand there. Come on in, Mike. He followed her and left his jacket on a chair. He looked curiously around. The place looked really neat, fancy compared to the flat he shared with his friends. As they entered the kitchen, he winced back a little by surprise. There was another girl sitting at the table. This is my good friend Hannah. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that she was here. I hope you're fine with that. He thought it would be just him and Maria, but he tried to hide his disappointment the best he could. Hi, I'm Mike. Nice to meet you. Hannah and Maria had noticed his initial wince. Hannah answered jokingly. For a short while, you thought it was just a trap as you saw the two Hispanic women, didn't you? You thought you were about to get mugged. They laughed. He laughed, too. Hannah wasn't completely wrong. Now, was she? He was a little ashamed of his initial reaction, though. I assure you that's not what I thought. He felt relief that the ice was broken. Hannah looked friendly. Here you go, a little welcoming drink. Maria handed him a glass. You're over 21, aren't you? Because it looks like my friend is robbing the cradle here. Hannah chuckled. He didn't appreciate the joke about his age, but tried to be a good sport about it and smiled politely. Cheers and welcome, Maria said and lifted her glass up. They sat there chatting and sipping their drinks. The conversation carried itself, and he was actually having a really good time. So what have you been up to today? Maria asked him. Well, after my morning lectures, I took my niece to the playground so my sister could go shopping, he replied. With some pride, he showed them pictures on his phone. One could tell he loved the kid. Aw, she's the cutest thing ever, Hannah said with a sigh. Where did you find such a sweet guy, Maria? He likes children and he's cute. He'll be a great dad to your future kids. Both women giggled. He blushed and tried to hide that he was a bit uncomfortable with the unexpected compliments and the lack of boundaries. He would have been mostly flattered, but he sensed a subtle, demeaning, and belittling nuisance in Hannah's voice. He continued the best he could. She's a wonderful kid. I'm lucky to be an uncle. After a short silence, he asked cautiously. So, do we have a game plan for tonight? Are we going to watch a movie or something? The women gave each other a short glance. There's something I need to ask you, Mike, Maria said. Have you ever performed on camera? Mike looked at her. Thoughts ran through his head, but he couldn't grasp what she was asking. His heart sank a little. He sensed that maybe he'd been right when he had his doubts. How could he be so naive to assume that she was actually interested in him? Of course, there had to be another motive all the time. What exactly do you mean? He asked. Well, you see, Hannah and I make films and sell them on the internet. Sexually themed films, but nothing, you know, not, you know, totally porn, but there's no full nudity. I mean, it's a form of kink, to be more specific. Maria looked at Mike with anticipation. No, I have definitely not performed on camera. I thought I came over to hang out and maybe watch some Netflix with you, he said with a clear disappointment in his voice. I thought that you actually really liked me. I should probably get going, he said and stood up. Both women immediately stood up and Maria quickly intervened. I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to scare you off. I do like you a lot. You seem like a great guy. This just seems like, you know, a thing we do every now and then in order to earn a little cash, you know. It pays off really well, though. And you'd get a good share, too. I mean, a lot more than at that grocery store I've seen you working at. Besides, it's fun, too. Mike felt belittled. He didn't know that she had observed him at work. Had she been stalking him? He'd wanted to present himself as a successful guy. Instead, his ego took a hit as he was completely exposed and left vulnerable. I only work there a couple days a week, he said with some hurt in his voice. Come on, there's nothing wrong with that, Maria responded quickly. You're like 20 or something. I mean, we've all been there. We all have bills to pay. I'm just saying, you get a lot more money by doing the shoot, and you don't even have to take all your clothes off. Besides, we'd apply heavy makeup on you. Nobody would recognize you, Maria continued by laying down her offer. You'll get $500 for the shoot, and there's a chance for a $500 bonus if we do well. That's probably more than you'll make each month at the grocery store. Mike stood still and observed them with an incredulous face. He despised himself for still being there and listening to them. His heart told him to leave immediately, but as a student, he felt he could really use the money. I mean, it was $500 after all. That was almost equivalent to 3 months' rent. He almost didn't feel completely like himself. He noticed his head was dizzy and he felt his heart pumping fast. He took a deep, frustrated breath. What exactly would I have to do? And who on earth would even pay money for it? It's really simple. I mean, you'd strip down to your underwear. Hannah will tie you up. And you'll struggle to get free against a timer. To make it real, you'll get the bonus only if you manage to free yourself. So I'll film everything in one take. We'll also put up two other cameras in order to get, you know, different angles. Cameras, lights, everything else has already been prepared in the bedroom. Once we're finished filming, I'll cut the film down to 30 minutes, and it's a fetish genre in which the audience pictures themselves in your position. Our customers really don't, you know, want to watch actors. They want to watch a real struggle. Mike was at a loss for words. The proposal seemed really creepy. I mean, he wanted to run, but at the same time, it seemed like an easy opportunity to make, you know, a modest scale or even a lot of money. He also still fancied Maria and thought that if he'd turn now, that his chances with her again would be lost forever. I don't know, Maria. I mean, this sounds way too advanced for me. I have to be honest. I'd been hoping for a regular date with you, including some snacks and Netflix. We just met. I was really looking forward to getting to know you properly. I hate to say it, but I don't know if I trust you this much yet. I mean, we really don't know one another. Maria seemed a bit impatient and frustrated at his hesitation. Come on, Mike, look around you. This is my flat. I don't rent it, I own it. If we'd wanted to mug or blackmail you, why would we have chosen a broke-ass student instead of some older, more established guy? I probably earn at least 5 times as much as you. But I don't care about that. Also, as I said, I really do like you and I want to get to know you. We'll go on a regular date later, I promise. We'll go see a film, and you can even pay for the movie tickets if you like. I mean, it's just that Hannah's in town today, only today. So this is our last chance to make the shoot. I mean, you can trust us, I promise. Maria looked intensely at Mike and smiled cordially. She took out $500 and put them on the table. Mike followed her with his eyes. You're not forced into anything, but I need to know soon. This is a one-time chance. How's it going to be? Are you in? Or are you going to chicken out? Mike was thinking that he must really have a low self-esteem for even considering the offer. He felt he was completely off balance. He took a deep breath and sighed as a sign of resignation. He looked down at the floor. Without lifting his eyes, he said, Fine, I'll do it. Hannah and Maria glanced at each other. Wonderful. Let's get prepared. Chapter 4. The Full Experience. Mike looked in the mirror. The makeup was really well done. The surroundings of his eyes were covered in black mascara, and his hair was all messy. He resembled an 80s rock star. He hardly recognized himself, actually. They walked into the bedroom, which had a large bed and open space with a large thick carpet in front of the bed. Two cameras were already set up and two lights were directed towards the open space. The setting looked quite professional to him. Curtains covered the windows. Everything was covered. "You can put your clothes on the chair in the corner," Maria commanded. "Let's get started. I'll start filming now and you can talk and be yourself. I'll cut away most talk in the editing." Hannah put a bag on the bed and opened it. She took out several clews of white cotton rope. Mike carefully stripped down to his underwear. He felt slightly dizzy and also a bit embarrassed and confused. He could feel blood pumping in his nether regions, which he thought was strange, since he didn't find anything arousing about the scenario. He adjusted his boxers to make sure that everything was well covered and that his manhood didn't show. Hannah took a piece of rope and walked behind him. "Put your hands behind your back," she instructed. Mike put his hands behind him. Hannah adjusted his arms, pushed them upward so his arms were horizontally parallel and each hand touched the opposite elbow. She quickly pulled the rope several times around his wrist, tightening the loops as she made a tight knot in the middle. Then she took another rope and pulled it several times across his chest, on both sides of his neck, and around his arms. The rope ends met in the middle of his back, just below his neck, where she made the knot. The strange rope harness prevented him from pulling his arms outwards to his sides and downwards to his lower back. "How does it feel? Not too tight?" Mike tested the ropes. They allowed some movement and didn't hurt. Maria was circling around them with the handheld video recorder and zoomed in on the rope work. His body and his facial expressions were rather bewildered. "Your body is easy on the eyes, Mike," she said with a smile. "Are you sure you haven't done modeling before?" Hannah took more rope and said, "Next, we go for the legs and ankles. Try to keep your balance." She made several loops around his ankles and above his knees until his legs were firmly pressed against each other. Then she gave him a small push, which made him panic as he couldn't move his legs to regain balance. Hannah, however, held a firm grip of him and carefully lowered him onto his stomach on the thick carpet. He was surprised that the relatively petite Hannah was able to support his weight, which was probably closer to 160 pounds. "You didn't think I was going to let you fall on that pretty face of yours, did you?" Mike was relieved that he was safely on the ground, but couldn't help noticing that he couldn't move around much anymore. "A few things more," Hannah said as she picked up something from the bag. Just as Mike turned his head to look, Hannah's left hand took a hold of his nose, to which he reacted by opening his mouth. "What are you..." His sentence was interrupted as Hannah pushed something metallic in his mouth, then strapped it around his head. "It's called a spider gag. We mentioned talking, but we really don't do too much of that. It spoils the mood. Nothing to worry about, honey. You can breathe and drool freely and make silly noises. It looks good on camera." Maria simultaneously put on some music from a laptop connected to the speakers. Mike was starting to feel very uneasy. He wasn't sure where this was going. He couldn't form clear sentences anymore, and as the metal ring prevented him from closing his mouth and even pronouncing any words, he also didn't like Hannah calling him honey or giving him compliments. It felt intrusive. He was hoping that the entire show would soon be over. Hannah wasn't done, but added two more ropes around his wrists and arms. She then stroked his legs, touched his back and arm muscles, and gave him a few degrading taps on his butt. She stood up and took a few steps away to observe her work. Maria gave the camera recorder to Hannah and walked up to the chair. She held the 500 in her hand and showed them to Mike. Without speaking, she made a roll of them and slipped them down in his pocket. She then held up 5 more $100 bills and put them on the bed. "This is your motivation, boy. You get 20 minutes to make these yours. Timer starts now." Mike began to explore the ropes. He gave them a few tugs and noticed they'd still stretch a little, but not enough to enable him to significantly increase his movement. His legs were wrapped together in a very firm grip. His hands could move in around the circles of each elbow, but it wouldn't cooperate to even move, even the slightest. His hands searched for knots or any ropes that he could pull and loosen, but his hands didn't find any knots. The rope loops could reach, but they didn't move much from their position. He had initially thought that it would be relatively easy to free himself, but the rope work was surprisingly skillfully done. After his initial and short-lived optimism, he felt very helpless as the time ticked away. His bonus reward started to feel distant and unattainable. He had never been tied up before. A claustrophobic panic slowly grew inside of him. His struggling in the grip of the ropes became stronger and more intense as he desperately tried to increase his movement. His mind was forgetting it was all part of a game or a show for the camera. His dizzy and panicking mind was wondering why the girls weren't helping him. They surely must have noticed his considerable distress and agony. His muscles tightened and pulled as hard as he could in order to get any additional movement. He could feel sweat. He could feel it running down his back, and breathing became fast and heavy. There was also a constant, humiliating stream of drool running down on the carpet from his mouth. His facial expressions looked worrisome and desperate. The women, of course, noticed all of this, but only seemed amused by it. He heard Hannah taunt him. "I'm not convinced that's a really winning strategy, babe, but keep tightening those muscles and keep those bulky buttocks, cheeks moving. You're doing great, sweetheart." He could feel her hand moving up his leg and stroking him. He felt a slight squeeze on his ass, and suddenly the hand gently touched and caressed his cock. He was angry at the crossing of agreed personal boundaries. Why did Maria allow this, he wondered. "Come on, ooh." He tried to talk. He gave them a stern and angry expression. "Let me," and he couldn't even verbalize it. "There's still 5 minutes to go. We want the full 20 minutes as we agreed. Keep fighting. You can do better than that," Maria said. His despair was mixed with hopelessness and resignation. He also felt panic as he had never experienced this ever before. His limbs didn't obey him, and he didn't have any control of the situation. The experience was far more humiliating than he anticipated. The taunts and belittling comments only added to the humiliation, as did the physical touching, which could have been arousing in other circumstances, but now it only added to the degradation. He didn't even care about the money anymore. He just wanted to get out of the situation. It was like a surreal out-of-body experience. His mind was already fleeing the scene, but at the same time, he realized his physical body was laying immobile and helpless on the bedroom floor. He barely knew these people, and as a result of the struggle, the ropes were cutting into his skin, and it gave him a terrible burning sensation. He'd also give anything just to stretch out his limbs. A few minutes later, he felt an exhaustion just come over him. "I think we're about done," Maria said, and gave Hannah a glance. Mike felt a tremendous relief as he was laying in his own sweat and drool and breathing heavily. Maria took a hold of his feet, and Hannah took him from under his arms. They counted to three and surprisingly easily lifted his now limp, exhausted body up in the air and onto the bed. Mike was waiting for them to untie the ropes as he saw that Maria had scissors in her hand. He first winced back in horror until he realized that Maria was going to cut the ropes off, but instead she didn't untie them. He tried to lay on his stomach as he could, but as he felt the cold metal of the scissors against his body, to his shock, the scissors didn't touch his body where the ropes were. Instead, he felt Maria's other hand taking a grip and pulling on the cloth of his boxers. She made it through the cloth on both ass cheeks with a few quick cuts and pulled the severed piece of cloth out away between his legs. Mike completely froze in fear. This wasn't agreed upon at all. He lay there completely exposed and helpless. The realization he'd been betrayed crushed him. For a while, he forgot his physical pain and humiliation. Now he was scared that he was going to hurt. And they were going to hurt him badly. He lay completely still as he panicked, as his mind ran through the possible alternatives, the possible outcomes and actions of all of this. He now feared for his life. Thoughts and pictures started running through his head rapidly. In his mind, he was rewinding time. He saw himself at the swings played with his niece just some hours earlier. He also felt an overwhelming sadness for all the things in his life he hadn't yet experienced and that he was going to miss out on, like a real loving relationship and having a family of his own. It all felt horribly unfair. A couple of tears ran down his cheeks as he pleaded. "Please, please," he tried to say. With some wild amusement, the girls let him continue producing unintelligible words as Hannah continued filming and zooming in on his face. The mascara ran down in black streams on his cheeks. Looking as a sobbing mess, he tried to tell them they could keep the money and that he would pay them if they just let him go. "As I already told you, money isn't an issue here, Mike. I already know you've hardly got any," Maria explained with a calm voice. Mike tried to tell them that his sister had money and could pay them, but his words were understandable. "Just try to relax, Mike," Maria said calmly and lifted her index finger to her mouth as a sign for him to be quiet. She gave Hannah a sigh to increase the volume of the music in order to drown out the unwanted noise from Mike. Maria then pulled her shirt off and unzipped her jeans. Mike felt Maria's both hands on his side. With a rapid pull, she flipped him over to his back so that his aching, wrapped arms sank into the mattress. He now saw Maria was fully undressed as she towered over him. She was carefully studying and measuring him with her eyes. Objectively speaking, she had a fantastic body, but that wasn't anything Mike could think about in his current situation. She pinned him tightly down by sitting on top of him with her legs spread on each side of him. She looked down in his eyes. Her entire weight was concentrated on his belly. He felt coarse, thick pubic hair touch his navel and warm, moist body heat just below it. Her left hand stroked and pinched her right nipple and massaged her breast. Her right hand simultaneously slowly moving from his chest to her ass and to her pussy. She grabbed his testicles and started stroking his cock. He didn't understand his body's reaction. He felt his blood pumping down to his cock, and the situation was like a horror film, and not at all arousing. But he still became fully erect as she kept stroking him. She simultaneously rubbed her clit, and her other hand just meandered all the way around his cock and balls as she bent forward and whispered, "I can see you like this," in his ear. Mike just lay there, mobile on his back. He was not only worried about what was going to happen, but also for possible diseases. He knew that some STDs were lifelong, and that wasn't even the worst scenario here. He was scared that they could slit his throat or stab him. Since all of his trust was shattered and he no longer expected them to have any moral boundaries, he tried to signal and tell Maria to get off of him, but his words, through the spider gag, were just unintelligible noise. Not that she would have listened or cared anyway. She actually seemed irritated by his resistance and again lifted her index finger to his lips. "Shh, it's okay. Don't worry, just relax. I know you'll enjoy it." She took hold of his cock and raised herself up a little and directed his cock right inside of her pussy. She lowered herself down until he was fully inside of her. He slipped in easy as there was hardly any friction. She gave out a small moan. It was clear she was all wet and very aroused by the complete power she had over him. For a moment, there was no movement, and the only sound came from the background noise. She just sat on top of him with his fully erect cock inside of her as she looked down on him with a stern and contemptuous look on her face. He tried to avoid looking at her. "Look at my eyes," she commanded. This time, there wasn't even a trace of warmth in her voice anymore. Her voice was cold and stern. As he still looked away in shame, she gave him a hard slap on the cheek with the palm of her hand. It caused him to make a weeping sound and again force some tears from his eyes. He then gathered all of his willpower and forced himself to focus on her eyes. She slowly started rocking her hips back and forth, pressing her clit against his hard cock. As he laid there with his helpless body, she increased the speed and pressure and simultaneously rubbed her clit against his cock. Her other hand fondled and squeezed her tits and nipples and played with his hair. Her moans became unapologetically loud. He could feel the intense motion building up with the pressure inside of him. His concentration momentarily slipped and his eyes wandered away to the surroundings, which earned him yet another hard, painful slap. He again locked his eyes with hers. The pressure inside of him was growing once again as she increased the aggressiveness of her riding. Suddenly, she put her hands around his neck and choked him hard. As he was gasping for air in panic and thinking his last moments had come, his head rocked back violently, his eyes closed and his body arched and spasm as he came inside of her. Her body simultaneously became tense and stiff over him. For a moment, she rested herself on top of him with him still inside of her. Then she quickly dismounted and moved her hips up on his face and her legs spread open. "Clean me up, loser. Stick your tongue out." Mike no longer had any willpower left to resist. He pushed his tongue out through the metal ring and started to lick Maria's swollen pussy. It was all covered in hair. As she was oozing her body heat, her cum pouring out, she pushed her weight down on him as she wanted to come yet again. She squeezed her legs together around his head so hard that Mike felt his skull was about to implode. After watching him squirm and gasp for air for quite some time, she finally came again. She climbed off of him and took the camera from Hannah. "Your turn," she said. Mike was in complete disbelief and thought he must have heard it wrong. Hannah, however, very quickly undressed and climbed on top of him. She stroked his hair and smilingly whispered in his ear, "We're all very close friends now. We share everything." Hannah laughed at her own joke. She positioned herself and started pushing herself down on his now extremely sensitive shaft. She was much tighter and her body didn't feel as prepared as Maria. The pain was immense. Mike screamed in agony through the gag and a stream of tears came down. And after several violent downward pushes, he was finally completely inside of Hannah's pussy. His body was squirming in pain as she started rocking herself back and forth on top of him and masturbating herself furiously with her hands. Mike felt as if he had ceased being a person. He was merely an object, a living dildo, whose suffering meant nothing. He couldn't understand their actions and the reactions to any of this. Why did they want to hurt him? He couldn't imagine himself hurting anybody. Why did they do this to him? Hannah kept motioning herself back and forth on his shaft so hard and violently that he thought he was going to have a broken cock after all of this. I mean, they had no regard for anything of what was going to happen to him. The immense pain blocked all thoughts and kept his mind firmly locked in the moment. His vision was completely blurred from all his tears. Maria stood with the camera beside the bed, still without any clothes, and zoomed in on his tearing eyes. The makeup around Mike's eyes were now spread all over his face. All Mike could do was to take and hope it would be over soon. And after some time, Hannah slowed down and looked at her friend. "I wonder why it's called penetrative sex. Often it's actually more engulfing sex." They both burst out laughing hysterically. Mike felt her breast against his chest as she leaned forward and was shaking from laughter on top of his sore body. Then she climbed off Mike, who remained lying motionless on the bed. Maria put the camera away and the women started dressing themselves. Mike managed to turn away from them onto a side in some sort of intuitive and semi-automatic attempt to protect himself. He pulled his knees up into a fetal position. His body was shaking rhythmically as he wept. Once fully clothed, Maria sat down beside him on the bed and gently stroked his side with her hand. That wasn't all bad, was it? She took the $500 bills. Listen up, Mike. We decided you give the bonus anyway for being such a good and cooperative boy. She folded the bills and put them in his jeans pocket on the chair. We will soon release you. I strongly recommend that you avoid any melodramatic outbursts or stupid moves. My friend is armed. Besides, you don't know us or what contacts we might have. I don't want anything happening to you or your loved ones, okay? The video we filmed is for our internal use only. We don't actually have a smut film business, but I guess you'd be mortified if we'd spread it to someone you know. So, to summarize, I suggest that you calmly gather your belongings, put your clothes on, and get the fuck out of my apartment, okay? And as an intelligent young man, well, obviously not too smart, but still, you've probably figured out by now that our future dates are canceled. I don't date losers. With that said, she finally untied the knots and loosened the ropes around him. He cautiously stretched his aching limbs and observed that they still functioned normally, although they hurt a lot. He meekly put his clothes on in silence without looking up. He didn't even care about the way he looked with the black makeup spread across his face. He avoided giving any look at Maria or Hannah as he silently walked past them, took his jacket, opened the door, and disappeared into the night. The end. That concludes our story. Thank you so much for listening. And until then, may all your fantasies become realities.